This morning, I would like for you, if you will, to open your Bibles first to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 20. If you will, turn to Numbers, chapter 20, and hold your place there. And then I want us to read one verse in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Numbers chapter 20, and when you found your place there, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and the verse we're reading here is verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples. If you notice, if you have a Bible that has a marginal reading before the word in sample, in the margin, we have the word types. Now, all these things happened unto them for types. Now, we know that there are many types in the Old Testament which were objects. For instance, the brazen serpent was an object, and it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know there are many different objects which were types. But this verse also tells us that not only were objects types, but what happened unto them. What happened unto them. Notice again, now all these things happened unto them for types, that which they experienced. And of course, he's speaking of the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt, when God delivered them out of Egypt and on their way to the land of Canaan. Many things that happened unto them also serve as types, and they are written. Now, notice they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So they were written for our admonition. You and I, we may be admonished as we look at these types in the Old Testament of things that happened to the nation of Israel. So if you will, turn back with me now to Numbers chapter 20. And I have 6 divisions in the message this morning, and I trust the Lord will bless His word to all of us. First, the children of Israel came to where there was no water. Notice in verses 1 in the first part of verse 2. Then came the children of Israel and even the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there, and there was no water for the congregation. The children of Israel came to where there was no water. Did they just happen to come to this place? Was it just a peradventure that they came to this place? In answering this question, I trust that we may be admonished concerning God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of our covenant God to lead His people as we go through this world. Did they just happen to come to this place? No, absolutely not. They didn't just happen to come to this place where there was no water. The God of peace, the God of all grace, He led them to this place. 40 years, more or less, before this, when God delivered the nation of Israel out of Egypt. You remember they came to the Red Sea, and it was before them, and they saw no way, no help. The armies of Pharaoh was coming against them, and God opened up a way for them through the Red Sea. And this is what we read there in Exodus chapter 13. And the Lord went before them. Now this is 40 years before this took place that we are reading about here in Numbers chapter 20. 40 years before this, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Now listen, He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the cloud by fire by night from before the people. This is 40-year time spans from when the Lord first came over them to lead them by a pillar of cloud by day and by fire by night. And after 40 years, you know how many times we read about their murmuring, about their complaining, about their unbelief, but God never took that pillar of cloud by day or by night away from them. I want you to hold your places here, but now look with me in the book of Nehemiah. Go over a few pages into the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is rehearsing this to the nation of Israel when they came back out of captivity after they'd been in captivity in Babylon when they came back. But what he says here just points out to us, this is what I want us to see. I want us to see the faithfulness of God. I want us to see the grace of God. Did they deserve His leading? Did they merit His leading? Did they appreciate His leading? How many times in those 40 years do we read about their rebellion, about their murmuring and complaining, and yes, about their unbelief? But He never took that cloud, that pillar of cloud by day or pillar of cloud of fire by night, away from them. He never did. Our God, your God, if you know Christ this morning, He's so faithful. He's so good. And we see this brought out here. Look here in Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 9. He said, and didst see the affliction, that is, God, you didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou causest them also, or camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, hearkened not to thy commandments, refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is thy God, that brought thee up out of Egypt and had wrought great provocations. Yet, now notice this, yet thou, in thy manifold mercies, forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of the fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing, their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. They came to where there was no water. And the question is, did they just happen to come to this place? Absolutely not. God had led them. The Lord Jesus Christ will never forsake one of his own. He said in the Gospel of John, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." I love that verse in John 13, which says, "And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." God, even though Israel was a rebellious nation, a sinful nation, God never took that pillar of cloud away from them. These 40 years, he led them to this place. The second thing I want us to see is a new generation. A new generation tempts the Lord. You see this in the last part of verse 2, where we read, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake against, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." God had brought them here. And once again, we see the sinfulness and the weakness of the flesh. 40 years before this, they had come to another place, not this same place, but to another place where there was no water. God had led them there. And then it was their fathers. And I'm going to read to us what their father said, and see that if this new generation now is not saying exactly what their parents said 40 years before, when God led them to a place where there was no water. You see what they said here in Numbers chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Now let me read from Exodus 17. "There was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses." I believe we see that here, don't we? They began to chide with Moses. "And the people murmured," again, the people murmur against Moses. A new generation. A new generation doing the very same thing that their fathers had done. "And they said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" God led them here. Did not God know that there was no water here? Did God lead them to a place where he didn't know that there was no water there for the Israelites? Well, you know better than that. God knew there was no water here. just like he had known that 40 years before when he led them to this place, or to a place where there was no water. God is going to manifest his grace and his mercy in giving them water, providing them water in a wilderness. How prone all of us are when we come to some particularly hard place in our life. We want to blame someone. We want to blame someone. I'm talking to believers, to God's children this morning. When we come to some hard place in our life, some difficult providence, and remember, God has not promised that we will not come to these places. But what he has promised is that when you go through the waters, they shall not overcome thee. When you go through the fire, it shall not harm thee. Why? Because he will be with you. But by nature, that old flesh, we all want to blame someone. And if it's not someone else, sometimes we even blame ourselves. If forgetting that God is the one who is leading his people through this world, just as much so as he was leading the nation of Israel through that wilderness. They didn't just come to this place by accident where there was no water. God knew there was no water there. God knows. God created man. God knows that man cannot live without water. But we see the murmuring and the complaining and the lesson. We are to be admonished by these things. That's what Paul said there. We are to be admonished by these things, these types which we see, that we not be guilty of the same things. They blame Moses, just like their fathers. The third part of my message, Moses' one faithful resource. Moses' one faithful resource. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and thy brother Aaron, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. 40 years before, what is Moses going to do? They're speaking of stoning me. They're murmuring. They're complaining. God, I didn't seek this job. I was on the backside of a desert, tending the sheep of my father-in-law, and you called me. You know, this is not scripture. I'm just trying to supponer, trying to suppose what he might have thought. Lord, I didn't seek this job. You're the one who called me. You are the one who sent me into Egypt to bring these people out of Egypt, and now they're mad at me as though it was all my fault. What am I going to do? Sure, they need water. We recognize that. What did Moses do 40 years before? He went to the only source of help that there really is. And that is, he went to God. And once again, we see he cried unto the Lord. Now, will God hear him again? Will he? Will God hear him again? Will God supply their need of water once again? You remember what we read over there in Nehemiah a few minutes ago? One of the most amazing verses of Scripture that you'll ever read. A God ready to pardon. A God ready to pardon. I watched this past week a man who had been recently pardoned by the president. And I couldn't help but think, as he expressed his thanksgiving and his joy and his gratitude, are we guilty of not expressing our joy and our gratitude that God Almighty has pardoned us? If you've been saved today, God's pardoned you. He's done more than pardon you. He's justified you. A God ready to pardon. Will God hear once again these people in their rebellion? Yes, He hears once again. God heard when Moses cried the first time, and He hears again when Moses cries. The nation's need of water. God gave specific instructions as to how He would give water. He said, "Speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth His water." You know, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, that rock was Christ. Now, nobody understands that literally, do we? This is not the same rock that He is to speak to as before the rock that He was to strike. Not the same rock. They're not in the same place. Paul says that rock was Christ. In other words, that rock represented or pictured Christ. Just like when the Lord said, concerning the bread, this is my body. Does anyone believe that that bread that He was holding in His hand was His body? Oh, no. That bread pictures His body. Or that what was in the cup was His blood? No. But the bread and the wine picture the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And He said, except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, He hath no life in Him. We don't do that by literally eating bread and drinking wine, but we do by trusting in Christ, by looking to Christ, by believing in Him and receiving Him. My friend, Brother Mahan, said one time, Henry Mahan, he said, if all the Israelites that were there, and there were over a million of them, including Moses, and God said, I'm going to give you water, there would not have been a one who would have thought that water was going to come out of a rock. People looked at Christ. They looked at the Lord Jesus. Well, we know Him. We know who He is. We know His mother. We know His brothers. How could a man who died the felon's death on a cross, and you tell me he's God? You tell me that he carried and bore the sins of his people in his own body on the tree so that they're gone? That he did that? Yes. Yes. Just like this rock. Brought water. God brought water out of the rock. Supplied all their thirst, all their need. When we think of a rock, now we're not thinking of a pebble. One of my little great-granddaughters the other day, I think they asked her what she had in her pocket. She said she had some rocks. I believe that's the way it went. Well, her pockets are pretty small. Talking about pebbles. Simon, thy name, thou shalt be called Peter. A pebble. A pebble. Just a little pebble. But upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That rock is Christ. And when we think of a rock, and when the rock here is a type of Christ. We're not thinking of a pebble. Not something you can pick up and put in your pocket. We're talking about a rock, a giant rock that speaks to us of strength. You're not going to break that rock. Durability. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And yes, elevation. It was lifted up. Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up, wasn't he? I tell you, he's lifted up today. He's lifted up to the throne of God with a scepter in his hand, all power and all authority, both in heaven and earth. And little feeble man says, well, wonder what I'll do with Jesus. That's not the question. The question is, what will he do with you? What will he do with me? We're in his hands. He's not in our hands. Remember that chorus years ago? He's got the whole world in his hand. Amen. Well, Moses, we know, was told to speak to the rock and it may give some water. No, that's not what he was told. God doesn't use the word may. Speak to the rock, Moses, and it shall give water. In the new covenant, God said, I am their God, and they shall be my people. Well, he, along with Aaron, the high priest, they were told, and they went to the rock, and you know what they did. They didn't speak. But Moses did speak, but he struck the rock. And that was my fourth point. There's only one sinless man. There's only been one sinless man after Adam fell. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what we read about Moses a few chapters before this in the book of Numbers? When Aaron and his sister Miriam, they began to complain against Moses. And the scripture there says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. But how meek does he sound here? Here, now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock? See, there was Moses, he didn't start off being the meekest man either. You tell that to that Egyptian he killed that day. When God works the work of grace in a person's heart, yes, we have a new nature. But my friends, we've still got that old man. And while we see God said he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth, he doesn't sound like a meek man here, does he? There was only one sinless man who ever lived upon this earth, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was reviled, the scripture says he reviled not again. Moses was fed up with this group. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified when he was nailed to the cross. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What we see here is that sin remains in all of God's people while we are in this world, even the prophet. And remember this, Moses was a prophet like no other. God said to all the other prophets, I'll speak to them in dreams and in visions, but to Moses, my servant, I'll speak face to face. But he still was a man. And he sinned when he struck the rock. And God charged him with unbelief. Notice that in verse 13. Verse 10 through 13. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels! Must we? You think Moses had any power to bring water out of that rock? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. That rock was Christ. Isn't that what Paul said? That rock was a picture of Christ. And that brings me to my fifth point. That rock was never to be smitten another time. Because it was a type, and it is a type, a picture of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times did he have to be smitten? How many times did he have to die? Once. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Once. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. He was smitten once to save his people. He's not to be smitten again. And when that rock was smitten, out flowed the water, which is a type, a picture of God, the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, and they did all drink that same spiritual drink. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, you need to be baptized of the Spirit. You've been saved, but now you need to be baptized by the Spirit. What foolishness. What foolishness. No one is saved who's not baptized with the Spirit, by the Spirit. That's simultaneously. Again, Paul said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That water pictured God the Holy Spirit, into which all believers drink, and by which all believers are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Every child of God is in Him, in Christ, by faith, and He is in us by His blessed Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, here's the last thing. I want you to think for just a moment of a contrast between Moses and Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the apostle wrote, for the law was given by Moses, was given through Moses. God gave the law to the nation of Israel, gave that old covenant to the nation of Israel through Moses. Grace. Now listen, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The words of Moses here, they just sound like the law, don't they? Here, you rebels. That's what we all are. Could any of us bring water out of a rock? Of course not. Can anyone perfectly, absolutely obey the law of God so as to be just before God? Of course not. The law requires, but it doesn't give any strength. It commands, but it doesn't give any ability. For by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. But grace, grace, unmerited favor, and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's the rock. And out of him flows the living water. Whosoever drinketh of this water, he told that woman of Samaria. And there was water in that well. She was there to get some. And he told her, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst. For it shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And then don't you just love his words? He said, if you had known the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, you would have asked, and he would have given you the water of life. Have you asked the Lord to save you? Have you? Well, his word is, if you ask, he will give. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that the Lord would bless this message to all of us here. Surely there's something in these words today that may serve to admonish us. If you're here without Christ today, certainly there's words of life. He has the words of everlasting life. And for those of us who are believers, there's words here to encourage us and comfort us, as Brother Kelly prayed. Comfort us. Comfort us. I trust it so. Let's sing this hymn. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his loving favor, who through life has been my guide? Number 296. Just like God was faithful to guide the nation of Israel, that whole 40 years, he never took that pillar of cloud away from them. May the Lord guide and direct us day by day. Number 296, and let's stand as we sing.